respect God, worship and bow down to God, and give him glory because the hour of his judgment has come. Now remember, his judgment is not meant for the children of God. His judgment is and wrath are meant for the wicked and unrighteous, and you'll find that in Romans 1.
Now wait a minute. At this point, where is the body of Christ? Where is the church?
We are up with him.
We're already gone.
We're like where John is. John is up and he's overlooking the whole scene. And this angel says, worship God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and springs of water. And the second angel is saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon. That means the economic system and the system of mammon as we have known it and as man has worshipped it is gone.
Now we're talking about money here.
Money.
The economic system.
That's right. And the third angel warns with a loud voice against worshiping the beast and the false prophet Antichrist. And another angel instructs Jesus. He says, now this is an angel who is instructing the Son of God, Jesus, Darren. I thought this was really profound. And Jesus is taking his orders. I believe that God gives angels orders, and angels go out and even tell Jesus when the time has come. And because Jesus says in John, I don't take orders unless they're given to me by my Father. I am a real servant to my Father. And so here we see God giving angels orders to give to Jesus. And he says, put in your sickle and reap because the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is ripe. That means the harvest is dry. You know, when my dad used to farm, Darren, he used to pray that it wouldn't rain right before harvest because you wanted those crops dry so they could go through the combines and get all the produce out without being stuck together because of the wetness. This is dry harvest.
And I know sometimes when they harvest beans, you know, they cut them and they turn them over. Or they go back in and turn them over again so they will dry, and they don't want rain at that time.
No, that's
they
right.
Want, they want that to be dry so they can harvest the beans out of all the foliage that's there.
Yes, they don't want any rot or mildew. And while another angel, the one who has power over fire, comes from the altar and calls with a loud voice, put in your sickle, to another angel who has a sickle. So we know there's a destroying angel who accompanies Jesus here in the 14th chapter. And Jesus and the angel harvest the earth until the blood comes up to the horses' bridles for 200 miles. This is going to be a war to end all wars. And who's going to be fighting it? Not us. It's going to be Jesus and his angels are going to be fighting this war. And praise God, they're going to win. We're finding out here.
Well, now the spirits, and here's what's so interesting to me. The spirits that are in the false prophet, in the beast, in the Antichrist, these spirits come out. They're like frogs, but they perform signs and wonders.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes today people see signs and wonders that are not of God. You need to know the scripture so well that you can discern, am I dealing with demons here or am I dealing with God's angels?
Mm-hmm.
Is God speaking to me or is the devil speaking to me?
Yes, and we just had one of our friends say, you know, when I did ask, God revealed to me what was the voice of the
Amen.
Enemy and what was the voice of Jesus, of Holy Spirit speaking to me. So
you know,
that
this,
is possible.
This messaging, Barbara, should be so comforting to us because the righteous here are preserved. Just like in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, who came to deliver Lot and his family? Angels.
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 Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely.
And angels are delivering us again. But here in Revelation 15:7, we have the angels with the seven plagues. One of the four living creatures gave the seven angels bowls of wrath. And now talk to us about those. Man, this reminds me so much of what God did to the Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you talk about punishment, God delegating and giving out things that are going to cause destruction on those that have tormented God's people.
Yes.
Give that to us, Barbara.
I believe this is the second half of the tribulation. I believe the first 3.5 years, these 144,000 were sent out to preach the gospel, and people would be won to Jesus one more time. I believe this second 3.5 years, somehow these people have either been martyred, they have died for their faith after they have received Jesus, or they have been taken up also, because here is the last 3.5 years, and it is absolute annihilation of mankind. Number one.
We could say chaos to the absolute max.
Absolute. The bowls of wrath that are poured out is angel number one delivers sores on men. Sores so unbelievable that the men curse God. They're hurting so bad, but they still curse God.
Doesn't the scripture say these are malignant sores?
They're very painful.
I believe it.
Number two, angel dries up the seas. Number three makes all the waters blood. And it says here, for they, the wicked and evil, poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and you, O God, has given them blood to drink, for they deserve it. Now these are the wicked people who have belonged to the devil and to all his demons, and they have taken the blood of the godly people, and now everything has turned to blood, and they've got to drink blood. Ugh, yuck. And number four brings terrible heat to the earth and scorches men. They blaspheme God again. Number five darkened the earth, but man blasphemed God and did not repent. Number five, the angel poured out the bowl that dried up the Euphrates so that the kings from the east might march toward Jerusalem. Hallelujah. You know, they're looking forward to this. The angels dry up the Euphrates and they say, okay, come on, come on, come on, come on. We're ready for you. And 200 million men march across to Jerusalem.
Now, what nation on the earth has 200 million men in their army?
Well, we know approximately where that is, and that's right up China's corridor.
Yes, and that happens to be east of this land where we're talking about here.
That's right.
But this angel is going to dry up the river, so they won't have any problem getting across. There won't be any impediments. And what they're doing is they're setting the trap, saying, come on over here.
They are.
Come on over here and get your lunch.
And number seven angel with a loud voice coming from the throne says, it is done. And 100-pound hailstones fall on men, but they do not repent.
You know, I think about this morning, you commented about the wonderful grapefruit that you had for breakfast.
Oh, it was wonderful.
But now, when I see grapefruit every once in a while, I think about the hailstorm that I was in where large grapefruit-sized hailstones came down. Hey, I don't want to see a 100-pound hailstone come down.
Well, we were talking about that.
I don't want to see that.
This friend of ours says, well, cement comes in 100-pound bags.
My
goodness, I cannot imagine going hundreds of miles an hour from heaven coming down in 100-pound bags like cement. I just can't imagine that.
I think during that hailstorm, in fact, it was in Fort Collins, Colorado in 1976, but I was driving down the road in the car, and it was breaking the windows out of front and back of cars and breaking out windows and houses and tearing up the roofs and so on. I don't ever want to be in another one of those things because I saw the destruction of 2 or 3 minutes of hail, and certainly I don't ever want to see 100-pound hailstones. I mean, that would do destruction beyond belief.
That's right. Now, in Revelation 17 and 18, we see the crash, the absolute collapse and crash of all commerce and business. And here an angel actually carries John away into the wilderness to witness the great whore. This is the great center of commerce and business in the world called Babylon. And in Revelation 18, we see another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority. It has great authority. And the earth was illumined with his glory. This angel is mighty. In fact, he shines for miles. And he announces the fall of Babylon. And
now, can you imagine how much power the angel needs to pick up John and take him where he wants to take him?
I can't imagine. You mentioned, though, Darren, earlier in the day, that in Babylon's hand was the blood of the saints. Babylon was responsible for the killing of godly people on this earth.
You know, several years ago, I saw an unveiling of a painting of Jesus holding a little aborted fetus in his hand, and he was weeping over this baby. And I asked the Lord, and I asked Holy Spirit, I said, now why is this thing about abortion so pervasive around the world? We already know, even by secular numbers, that the doctors who perform abortions live an average of 10 years less than doctors that don't perform abortions. Obviously, the baby loses its life, the mother loses, the grandparents lose, everybody loses. Why is this drive? Is it just the money? And the Holy Spirit said, no, it is not just the money. It's the energy in that baby's blood that Satan takes that through this act of murder. He has access to them, to that blood, and to the energy, and that's what fuels his kingdom. Mm-hmm. Well, when I read about the bloods of the saints and the prophets here, it's like Holy Spirit is saying the same thing here. They wanted to take the energy out of their blood. And you know, the devil is always after the anointing.
I
believe that when a saint is murdered, or when there's been a life taken here illegally, and I believe they've been martyred, that somehow Satan's kingdom runs on the energy of that blood.
Well,
but God is going to vindicate it.
That's right. It looks like Babylon's energy was run by the blood of the martyrs that
the
she
saints,
killed.
Right.
And so, and remember, Babylon, the great whore, our commerce, They are the great systems of that time. Here, when they fall, and it says here in Revelation 18:19, they threw, now this, these are the people remaining